Friday's post game. I'm Irma J. You got Jeech. You got Tim Frisch. And you have Asher in the building. And Steve O will show up eventually, as usual. And I know last week, the guys said they would be here. They all went bye-bye. So we taped this on Friday.
Other guys. Main guy.
Yeah. Good guy.
This guy showed up.
Who needs
him?
It's
a good guy.
Good guy. Mm-hmm. So the guys said they would be here, but they're not. But we have Tim Frisch.
An acceptable replacement.
Yes, right. Exactly. He does What the Flick. So watch him on What the Flick. What else do you do?
Nothing.
That's my only other on-screen appearance, the only other place you can watch me. I only run two departments here at the Young Turks. I manage 13 people, no big deal.
If
you want to see my pretty face, you can see me on What the Flick.
Yeah, I know. So right now you are with three beautiful women. How does it feel?
I am humbled and honored.
Yes,
you should intimidated.
Why?
Right.
Yeah. Why?
It's not my show. It's the first time I've been invited on the show. Mm-hmm. You guys do this all the time.
But this is no different than What the Flick.
It's a little different.
Yeah, we've never been invited to What the Flick. At a high table.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different.
Not at a high table. I've never sat at this desk before. Well, yeah. I have on Nerd Alert. I've been on Nerd Alert once.
Well, of course.
Now you're just lying to us. How are we going to trust you?
Yeah, I can't keep my story straight. Yeah. This is very intimidating.
Yes, I know. Okay, so you're probably thinking, why do we have wine glasses? Well, we figured, first things first, let me give honor where honor is due. I had this discussion with a friend of mine. And he's in the studio. His name is Marlon Hunter. And I was talking about post game and he's like, wait a minute, why don't you do a Friday happy hour post game? But instead of calling it post game, call it the pregame show. Because if you're getting off of work, the last thing you want to hear is someone died. Or just whatever.
Oh, shade at Dave Kohler.
Die?
Sick Dave Kohler burner.
Fire. First of all, you all threw him under the bus. So I did not say anything of that. Yeah. So, but I want, like I said, I want to give honor where honor is due. So this idea is totally my friend Marlon Hunter. So, and he's a TV producer and film. So check him out. Find him somewhere on Google or IMDb or whatever is clever, wherever you can find him. Other than that, everybody's good?
Yeah. So far.
I mean, I don't have my booze yet.
Yes.
I am hydrating.
Yeah. Well, before we start, because Jeech is going to talk about the moonshine. And then from ever so slightly.
Behind the wheel. Yeah. I'm back in on my face.
You know. Okay. Wow. Okay, so Jeech, tell us about this wonderful moonshine.
I don't know if we should call it moonshine. Like, Tim brought up this point, like, is it technically moonshine if it's still vodka?
It's not.
It's not. The term for this is called Kashat Arach, and it's
No, I want to go back to moonshine.
I don't think you guys can pronounce that. So it's like homemade Armenian vodka, and they make it from just any fruit that's in season. So this one is cornelian cherry, like the tiny little cute cherries.
Oh, nice.
Cherries. Typically it's made out of mulberries or apricots, the really popular ones. And it ranges from like 50% alcohol to like up to 90%.
What's this?
I think this one is technically the store-bought one.
Because I said it was homemade.
Okay. I brought two from Armenia, and I forgot, like, one was in a bottle so we could sneak it into this country, you know, because you can't really bring homemade alcohol across borders. And I think this one was a store-bought one. But this one has 50% alcohol, according to the label in the back. So...
So no big deal. That's why we're drinking it in the middle of the day at work.
Yeah.
Yes. And we got the Pop Trigger, you know, logo behind us.
Oh, we do? I think Griffin pre-gamed the post-game.
Well, look, we're already starting, okay? We haven't even started to drink and everything's starting to mess up whatsoever. So Steve just walked in the building.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Steve is here.
We
don't need to see him.
Somehow his camera is ready, so we'll get to him in a second.
We'll get to him in a minute. But did you miss it?
Miss what?
She's going to give us some moonshine. Gigi is going to give us some moonshine.
Yeah, we're going to get messed up in the middle of the day.
Yes, we're going to light it up.
As far as the members are concerned, this is happening Friday evening. So this is fine to drink.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
Look at that. That's even better. We're just on a roll today.
But where's my drink?
Oh, well, we're going to start.
Drink
but before we start drinking, you know, she's going to pour a little bit. I feel like I can drink. Tim?
Yeah, you have to pour it before you drink it.
No, really.
Just a heads up, this has been chilling in my backyard for like 2 years. It has not been open. Mm. So
chilling as in getting cold or chilling
just
as
like
in
hanging
being
out? It's like, you know, it's a millennial term, just like hanging out.
2 year old
just chilling.
Backyard.
We're not going to die from drinking this, are we?
Who knows? We'll find out.
Hold up.
You guys are going to sign your lives away first before we can drink this.
Back the truck up. Okay, so if you didn't see it, well, maybe last week or a week. No, because Old School happened last week.
Was it last week?
It was last week. Okay, so last week, Cenk and Ben and who else?
Mark.
I brought some Cape Verdean moonshine and Haiti moonshine, and they tried it. But I was in the back doing audio, and they were afraid to try it. I grew up with this because it was considered a home remedy for me. So if you haven't seen the Old School episode, I think you should watch that. For me, moonshine doesn't do nothing for me.
Drinks it like water.
I do. Go to the islands, they drink it like water.
Yeah.
But I can only take a shot. That's enough. I'm good. But with Jeej, since she brought the moonshine, no big deal, right? So for me, I'm good.
Yeah.
But this will probably be Steve's first time drinking.
I've had moonshine in Tennessee. I always get Tennessee and Kentucky confused, but it was in Tennessee.
They're both fine.
We actually met with one of our members, Nick Tennant, at the Loveless Cafe, and we had moonshine there, and it was horrendous. Hated it. It was awful.
I was told the story of my mom, instead of getting the talk from her father, my mother is from West Virginia, mm-hmm. and her father sat her down and was like, I know that you're going to try a lot of moonshine, but I want to make sure that you're drinking the good stuff. So he like had her.
Wait, sat that
her,
talk?
That was the talk that, was that they the had. Talk? That was the talk that they had. Like, I just want to make sure you're being responsible with your moonshine drinking. Mm-hmm. So yes, he
actually,
had her.
In my household, we had the same conversation, but I told my kids, we want you to drink organic moonshine.
Right.
That is fair trade, grown right here in Los Angeles.
Gluten-free. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like the LA thing.
Gluten-free, yeah.
Okay.
Cruelty-free too, guys. Don't forget.
Cruelty-free.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, should we pour? All right. So I can do a little bit, but then we have to figure out how to get Steve over here.
Oh, this is weak.
Stop.
That is so much.
That's a shot.
Out for the rest for every. That is. I don't want that much. It smells so bad.
You know what? Nervous. There you go.
It's not any less when it's in my glass.
Is it enough? It spreads out.
There goes the music bed.
This one.
Okay. You can get up from your thing.
It's not that bad.
No.
It's like rubbing alcohol. Like,
all right, so I'm mic'd up, I guess, but my video doesn't work.
All right. Do you guys smell that?
Oh,
no.
Good.
Okay.
Give me.
What? Just give her hair.
Just a very smidgen.
A smidge. Right there. Okay.
I'd be a horrible bartender.
Yes, you are. Okay. So... ready, set.
Are we gonna shoot this?
No.
Drink it like a shot.
We're not gonna sip it.
You can sip it. I don't.
I will sip.
Okay, big girl. Go ahead. You go first. Right.
Oh my god. Mm.
All right, she's not dead. So safe.
Actually, it tastes the same.
She didn't even flinch.
I told you, I'm immune to it. Yeah, it's not as warm.
Are you an alcoholic?
No, I am not an alcoholic.
She just has a liver of steel.
You're gonna,
I'm a two drink.
Quick question, Gigi. Is this Armenian moonshine?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just drink it. Just do it.
I wanted the like the real kind where they sell it on like the streets.
This is
driving.
Not bad.
No, it is pretty smooth.
Yeah, right.
It's not
way
that
worse.
Bad.
Way worse.
I've had
I think
much worse.
I hurt my face.
This isn't
like,
because this
warmness.
Is more store bought. This isn't like the one they sell on the streets.
Okay,
the one on the
you okay?
Oh, I got goosebumps.
Okay. Oh my god, I feel like hell right now. This is awful.
Are you serious?
Yes. This is yeah. like burning the entire
oh,
inside
gosh.
Of me.
It's just hanging out on my tongue, and my tongue
I
is like
feel
tingling.
It in my arms. Can I give this one? I feel
serious?
It in my arms.
See, I feel it nice and warm.
This isn't even
I feel
strong.
Like I'm going to drop to the ground.
It's not even that strong. You know?
Okay. And writhe in
you
agony.
All need to watch Old School and
it's
see, because they did three shots it's, of moonshine.
This is horrendous. Now I feel like I'm like Joffrey. I'm gonna fall to the ground and writhe in pain and then die.
Oh. Okay. Do you know what? Do you want a chaser?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Anything.
What type of chaser would you like?
Surprise
beer,
me.
Would you like
wine?
An alcoholic chaser.
What you want?
Oh God. How about like a slice of pizza and a Coke?
No, no. There's no Coke here.
Irma goes hard or nothing at all.
Go hard or go home. Right.
Yeah. Go like, big or go home or go.
By the way,
pass
quick
him a
camera to me for a second. I want to say thank you to one of the members. So on a prior Old School, we talked about coffee. And I talked about how much I love French press coffee. And one of the members, Todd Jagger, sent me a bag of, thank you. He sent me a bag of coffee that he roasts himself. Okay, and he roasted it in December, like at the end of December. It was excellent. It was really, really good coffee. It might be the best coffee I've ever had.
Wow.
So,
where's it from? What was the brand?
I don't know what the brand is. He roasted himself. The guy's name is Todd Jagger. J-A-G-G-E-R.
He doesn't grow coffee beans.
He doesn't grow it.
You can't do that.
He doesn't grow the coffee. He gets the coffee somewhere. Then he roasted himself.
Okay.
So I did, you know, so I ground it. And then, thank you. And then I French pressed it.
Okay.
Best coffee I've ever had. It's so Todd, thank you so much. I'm trying to figure out how to get more of this. I'm trying to get in touch with him, but I lost the card that he sent. I think it was toddjagger.com, but when I tried it, that URL doesn't exist. But anyway, Todd, if you're watching, thank you. Awesome, awesome coffee.
Okay. All righty. Yeah. Well, it's called Happy Hour.
Oh, geez.
And, you know, where have you been?
I'm not interesting enough to be sober around. So we found
can
a new
you open
life.
It?
Fridge.
You can open it.
Yeah, of
oh,
course.
My
so,
God.
What? What the hell did you buy, Irma?
No, this is all from the
that's
bar.
That's a TYT thing. That's right, an official TYT.
This is all, this is
honey whiskey.
Yeah.
So 2 days ago, Irma comes up to me in the kitchen and she says, I have a question for you. And I said, yes, before I even heard the question. And then she said she wanted to do drinks during post-game. I was like, yeah. I already said yes. Just don't ask any more questions. Just do it. But I didn't know you're going to bring this much alcohol. Get us all fucked up.
I said happy hour, and according to my friend over there, his name is Marlon Hunter, he's the one that suggested it.
Suggested what?
This idea.
Oh, Marlon. I blame Marlon and I blame Irma.
To drink all this liquor.
No, we're not going to drink all. It's just a lot of it is from off of props. Mm. So, because if you're home, I want you to go to your refrigerator, grab a beer, grab a water, grab a soda, because in case you don't drink, or grab a something, and just kind of just chillax with us as we do all these bar talks or whatever right. bar talks is happening.
So I want to know how everyone reacts to alcohol, because there are certain people who are great after alcohol, some people who are terrible.
Yeah.
So you guys know Jack. So Jack Girard is our chief administrative officer. And I'm gonna take this moment to throw him under the bus, okay? Don't drink with Jack. When Jack is drunk, he's a dick, okay? He's one of those like angry drunks. Really unpleasant to be around. So
I've never seen Jack upset or angry.
So, I was going to say
upset.
He's like a generally pleasant
No, when Jack is sober, he's a super pleasant guy.
Yeah.
But when he's drunk, oh, he's an ass. So
even,
don't drink with Jack.
Even when people are fucking up, even when like things are not going well, I've never seen Jack.
He's
angry.
A very calm guy. Yeah. Sometimes that calmness I find maddening because I get pumped up sometimes. But when he's drunk, he's a dick. So when I get drunk, I get foolish. So I'm a lightweight. First drink, I'm fine. Second drink, I'm actually feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Third drink, I'm buzzing, I'm super happy, I'm chatting up with random people, and everyone's having fun. Fourth drink, dancing inappropriately. Okay.
This is where he wanted to do the hammer dance and dance to Naughty by Nature.
Yeah.
That's what he requested. So maybe it's a possibility you may see Steve bust a gut, bust a move.
Oh.
So So fifth drink, I'm fucked up. Okay, I'm stumbling, crashing into places. Sixth drink, I'm done. I'm like done for the night. Mm. I'm not good for the next 24 hours. So six drink max. That's a lot of drinks for me. Yeah. But four drinks, I'm good.
Okay. Alrighty.
Yeah. If I don't eat anything the night I'm drinking, like at the end of the night, I'll wake up miserable. No matter if I have, you know, two drinks or 10. I don't have 10 drinks.
So I want everyone to tell me how you guys are when you're drunk. I mean, are you...
Well, Gigi can't drink, so she's exclusive.
Right.
Oh, no, because okay. She's a young buck.
I know Tim turns into a total slut when he's drunk. Is that right?
I mean, I'm fun.
You sound so convincing.
I'm not angry. I don't get sad or weepy. I think I'm just a more uninhibited Tim. But I don't drink nearly as much as I did in college. Even like going home, I don't. Well, I mean, to be fair, nobody does. But like, I even like it's not my intolerance. It's just like one drink and I'm just hungover the next day. It's like the risk reward for having a good time drinking and feeling like shit and losing an entire day is way more than it was when I was in college. Mm-hmm. So it's like I hardly drink at all because it's just not worth it anymore.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I don't drink too much, you know, once every couple of weeks. But when I do, it's like if I get buzzed, I'm happy, I'm feeling good, you know, less inhibited. But then, like, if you push it a little bit, I reach this limit where it's like, if you have this many drinks, you just immediately Irish goodbye. So it doesn't matter where I am or who I'm with, I'm out, and I don't tell anyone where I'm going. And I just go straight up. I just, like, I hit it. It's like, as soon as it hits me, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go right now. And then I'm out.
That's how I am sober, but on the clock.
Right?
Like, I'll go to an event, and then it'll roll around to be like 10 o'clock, and it's like, all I want to do is leave. I just want to be home right now. Yeah. I can't believe you convinced me to go out again. I hate this. I love you all, but I'm out.
Oh, yeah. I don't even give a warning. I'm just kind of gone, or like I'll tap and whisper like, I'm going to go, and then just run.
That's an Irish goodbye. You nailed it.
Yeah. So I'm the quiet one. Usually.
I don't believe it.
No, seriously. No,
you're
seriously.
You're never quiet.
No,
I don't believe it.
Okay, yes, I'm the bubbly, quiet one.
Irma, just dance. I know you want to. Just go.
No, wait. Seriously, no joke. When, if I drink too much, first of all, I like to eat. So usually I'm a two drink person. But if I am going to drink a little bit more, I need to be eating, putting food in my mouth because I don't like being drunk. And I don't like being buzzed either. But if I am a little buzzed, I get really quiet because I want to be in control because I don't want people to know that I'm buzzed. So I just be like...
Do you do that thing where like you're too drunk or too high and you go into the bathroom and you look yourself in the mirror and you're like, you're fine. Everything's fine. You're fine. Get your shit together. Splash some water in your face.
Well, first of all, I've never been high, so I've never done drugs. No, but enough. Okay.
So Tim, I'm the opposite.
I've been drunk one time in my life. One time.
Tim, I'm the opposite. I go to the mirror. I'm like, my God, you're a fucking mess.
Yeah.
What are you doing with yourself? And then there are a couple of times where, again, I'm a lightweight, so I pass out. And one time I was so fucked up, I thought I was gonna literally die. I was trying to reach the phone so I could call 911, but I couldn't quite reach it. And then, I'm not even religious, but I prayed to God. I was like, God, if I don't die, I will never drink. And I couldn't finish my prayer because I passed out, right?
So it's fine. You didn't finish.
So
it doesn't
fine.
Count.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
I went to a house party for the first time in a long time. My friends were playing a house party, and they had a keg there, and I haven't done that since college.
Oh, that's so much fun.
Am I going to feel old? But then it ended up being a really great time. But I did have that moment where I kind of like looked down at myself. I'm like, my entire shirt is just soaking wet. I don't know.
Wow.
Makeup is like, when did this happen? And why did I not notice? Yeah.
So back in law school, we used to throw house parties all the time at my apartment. So we lived in the fourth floor of a four-story building. So we called it the penthouse.
Hey.
And so we're saying, you know, house party, the penthouse. And we would always have a keg, and then we would have a mixer where we would make margaritas for everyone. That was it. And I had this one mixtape. This is back in the early 90s, so we had mixtapes still. Like a cassette tape. I don't know if you guys know what that is.
I know what it is.
And I got this mixtape for $3 from Istanbul, Turkey, when I was traveling through Turkey with Jake. and it was just like a bunch of dance music, and it was just on continuous play on this giant boombox. And that was it. And those parties are so much
fun.
Was
it Turkish dance music?
No, it was. Well, there were no. It was more like Euro. It was more like Euro dance music. Yes. Yeah. And everyone was like, "Whoa, where'd you get this music from? This music is awesome." And it was like a 60-minute tape. It would just play on a loop for 4 hours straight, and it was so much
fun. Did you have
to
like flip it after a half an hour?
No, I had one of those nice boomboxes that auto play the other side. I'm high class.
Wow. Okay.
We would just play the soundtrack to GTA Vice City.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's
a good one. Nice 80s soundtrack. I don't know.
No.
So, can I just tell you guys what giant dorks Jenk and I used to be in high school and college?
Oh, gosh, Lord.
I mean, we know, but.
Yeah, we know, but
we used to not drink, okay?
Because Jenk was Muslim?
Yes. Okay. And I was Christian. We were kind of like right-wing douchebags.
Oh, did the Christians tell you you couldn't drink?
Well, we're
that's
not
such
to...
a bummer, man. We had wine every Sunday. That was part of the deal.
I can quote the Bible because I know Jesus said, "Don't be drunk." Okay.
No, that's not why I didn't drink. That's not why I didn't drink.
You know, but you can drink, but not drink. Don't be drunk.
So as a Muslim, Jen couldn't drink. He couldn't eat pork. He couldn't gamble.
But he's a Turkish Muslim. Turks don't really, like, they're not
right.
really.
Whoa. And he can have, okay. and he can have premarital
Turkey
sex.
The bus there.
No, they're very secular.
Yeah.
They're more secular. They do drink.
No, so Turks are totally secular, but those are four things he couldn't do. No premarital sex, no pork, no alcohol, no gambling. He could never do all four.
All my favorite things.
So he would compromise, and he would only not do two, okay, at any given time, right? No, he would rotate. He would rotate. I'm like,
so he could do all four.
I'm like, what is
only ever two at a time.
Right.
So I'm like, this is all four at once.
Yeah. So I'm like, Jen, this is
I can't bring this ham sandwich into bed, darling. We're already having premarital sex and we're drunk. So that's right.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, Jen,
that's my boss, by the way.
I was like, Jen, you're so,
as a young man,
I totally caught him out on it. I was like, you're so full of shit. Okay? There's no principle. It's whatever's convenient. I'm not in the mood for pork this week, because I won't eat pork. Yeah. I'm not going to any parties. I won't drink. Right? There are no good games and bet-ons. I won't gamble.
I'm abstaining from sex so I can enjoy this time.
Well, it's
not because I can't get it.
Abstaining from sex for both of us was flat out, we just couldn't get it. Just couldn't get it.
That's an easy one.
All right, so the reason why I didn't drink was actually even worse. I was such a freaking nerd. I was like, that's against the law. I'm not a lawbreaker. I'm not 21. I'm not going to drink.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't drink. It was so stupid. And then, so my freshman year in college, never drank. But, you know, I would go to parties and I'd have a good time, but just wouldn't drink. My sophomore year, I'm 20. I'm still not 21. I go to this party, like a special house party that this super hot girl invited me to. And she's like, don't be an asshole. Just drink with me. I'm like, okay. That's all it took, right?
No pressure.
In college, any attractive woman could get me to do anything.
That's exactly right.
Thankfully, none of them asked me to, like, kill anyone or break the law or steal shit.
Wow.
No, all she said was, don't be stupid. Just drink with me. I'm like, okay, whatever you want. Whatever. And I had, like, two beers that I literally, like, passed out on her couch like a dork. And she laughed at me. And we're still friends, and she still makes fun of me about that.
Well, you're married, though, too. You better be friends.
Wait, this isn't the person that he married. It's a separate person.
All right?
It's a different person.
Yeah, not the same person.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. So, moving right along. So, yesterday was the Women's International Day, and
it was also a day without women.
A day without women. So, myself.
I'm sorry, did I mansplain that? I didn't.
Yeah, that's
totally fine. Mansplaining our day.
Yeah, I know. Come on.
Let a woman talk.
Quit telling us what to do. Oh, gosh. You know, so my Jeech, myself, and Asher, and the rest of the TYT women.
You guys all left to go shopping, right?
Oh, yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, we just painted our nails in a circle.
Yes,
and
yes,
then got our hair done.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the new shoes you bought me.
Yeah, thank you.
So with all the women gone, there was no one here to cook for us for lunch, so we had to order out.
You had bagel. Oh, my God. You know what?
No way.
What are you doing?
You had bagel Wednesdays. We still, like, Leah's still
Yeah, we don't not have Bagel Wednesday when you're not here. I'm just like,
I thought we all came in specifically to get bagels and then go.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Bagels.
Guys,
oh, yeah.
I came to get bagels because I knew if I was walking, I'm like, I'm going to need something.
All I can say is this, okay? A day without women, totally fine. Day without bagels, not fine. Right. People are going to be angry, okay? We need our bagels.
Between women and bagels, I'm always picking bagels.
I still worked because someone had to publish everything.
What do you mean you still worked? Like afterwards?
Yeah. I got the text, like, did you publish the members' content? I was like, wait, what? No one did it?
Oh, okay.
So that's why I was sorry. That's why I was up late yesterday.
So we have pictures of what the office did not look like.
We have pictures of what it didn't look like?
What didn't look like. I'm sorry. What didn't look like. So, Griffin, bring it up.
Hey. Empty.
There's my seat and it's empty.
Yeah.
Like, look at those fake sad
smiles. Look at all these hardworking men.
Right. And a then picture of Beyonce in the background, very appropriate. Yeah. She was the only woman left behind.
Yeah. So that's what it looked like, because it was crickets up in the building, according to Steve-O, you know.
Bart said that there was no sunshine.
I know.
All right, so guys, seriously, like all kidding aside, of course we love all the women who work here, and we support you guys, and we're very happy that you guys took the day off to go march and protest and be part of the rally.
And we thank you. Honestly, this is a company.
That was great. But let me just tell you something, okay? There was a time at TYT when it was literally a day without women every single day. Because we only had guys and Anna. Poor Anna was the only woman working here, and it was just a bunch of guys. So that's what it reminded me of yesterday when I came to the office. I was like, there's no women here. It's just a bunch of guys sitting around. And I forget who said it, but someone was like, well, this is great. There are no women here. We can just fart, we can burp, nobody cares, right?
I care. I don't want you to fart while I'm around. Can I put my vote in for that? Just keep doing
everyone
what you're doing.
Everyone passes out because of the smells. It's just... No, and there was a moment yesterday we all carpooled there, and then some people just met there. So when we were carpooling, there was a moment where... We were just all, like, I was in a car with Gigi, and we were all talking about how horrible bras are. And I was like, this is the best Women's Day ever. Like, we're going to a women's rally talking about, we brought up periods and stuff. It was great. It was,
Oh, my car ride was different.
But you still wore bras.
We talked about music.
We also talked about different types. It's different types of bras. It's like, I don't like underwire. I want to move towards more sports bras.
I have an illusion right here.
My perennial question is always, why? And I'm not even bother.
But we also talked about, equal treatment in the workplace.
Which you do or don't get here. Honest question. I appreciate an honest answer for.
I guess it depends.
Ooh, on
what? Wow.
I'll tell you, specifically with me, I've never had so many people ask me, like, oh, you know how to work a camera? Like, I doubt that, like, a man...
Because you have a degree.
Wait, you work the camera?
No, when I first was hired and I was going on my first out-of-field shoot, there were several people that were like, oh, you know stuff about cameras? Like, oh, you know how to shoot? You know how to shoot, right?
I want names. Who are these people?
No.
I asked you that question in your first week of working because I don't know what you know and what you don't know.
Right.
My question of your first week working here in that camp of, Tim's being super insulting right now.
No.
Of course
you're
I know
just,
how to
you're
work
always insulting, so yeah. it's just part of his shtick. It's not anything extraordinary.
I try to be woke, and they keep throwing me under the bus.
It's okay.
Let me tell you something. I love Tim's subtext. Tim's subtext is priceless because... The things that he says is not really what, what he's thinking.
You're going to throw our personal conversations out into the open.
No. I miss, because Tim used to direct Pop Trigger. Now I'm doing Pop Trigger. because he passed it along to me because he trained me well.
Because Irma is a capable and talented director.
Oh, thank you.
And I wasn't needed any longer.
Yeah, no. But I miss Tim's, subtext because there are times... He would say some stuff that you wish you're thinking it, and then he says it. And I'm like, I love you. Ah! Oh, man, but I miss him so much. So now bring on the subtext.
All right. I want to hear more from the women about how you feel you're treated at TYT because you're women. Is there any, like, discrimination or unfairness.
Because we just had sexual harassment training. I have several employees.
Management.
So management had to have sexual harassment training.
Us schmucks didn't have that whatsoever.
Which in some ways opened my eyes, but in other ways it was like, yeah, we're a great company. None of this happened. Yeah. So prior to the Women's Day strike, I had sent an email to all my female employees basically saying, hey, I understand the point of Women's Day. Like, women aren't treated fairly in the workplace. There is a great reason for advocacy and for striking and for social justice, and that if you want to, you should be out there doing this. I'm under the impression that you guys don't experience any of those things. I know for a fact that you're paid equally. Hopefully I treat you equally. I have just as many female employees as male employees, but I don't want to stop you from joining in this movement if you want to. I don't want to make you feel guilty for not coming. I don't want to force you to go if you want to stay and work. I know that a large portion of this day is just you falling behind on your work because you're taking the day off and going to do other things. So it's your decision. I'm not going to pressure you either way.
Well, the rally wasn't just about women's treatment in the workplace.
It had to do so many other things.
Yeah, it's about like the treatment of women today in America, and that there still isn't equality across the country. There's still not equal representation in the workplace in general. There's still subtle discrimination, whether it's microaggression or, you know, not being able to do things because you're a woman.
So that's what I want to get into.
But there's also other things too, like violence against women. You know, the way women of different races and religions are treated in America. So it was everything.
So I totally get the macro, the worldwide.
Yeah.
But I showed that email to my wife, who told me, you're full of shit. Women do experience, in your workplace, they do experience sexual harassment. They do experience discrimination. You just don't fucking see it because you're a man. So I'm ready to have my eyes
opened.
Just
like subtle, like sexual comments too. Even if you didn't intend it to be in a sexual way, sometimes a lot of women will interpret it in a sexual way. Like if you make some comment about a woman's appearance, like, oh, you look good today. Why are you looking extra attractive today? It's like saying, oh, like your entire worth is in your outer appearance.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So there's
no way to compliment a woman on her appearance.
No, it's the second line of that. Oh, you could say like, oh, you look really nice today. It's you look nice today. You going on a date? Special.
So you put it in context. Yeah. You frame it
in
that
way. You're not wearing any makeup today. You tired? Like,
because that for sure told my employees, hey, that's a great haircut. Or, wow, that's a really good color.
That's fine. That's totally fine.
But you're telling me that some of these innocuous statements are totally inappropriate.
It's what she just said. It's like, you look nice today. Are you going out on a date? If you just stopped at, you look nice today, then cool, great. But if you say, you look nice today. Are you going on a date?
Is there any non-date format I should also avoid?
My point is that, so I can't look nice just to feel good and be happy, as opposed to I have to be going on a date, you know? So that's where it kind of becomes like,
what happens if you are going out on a date, though?
Well,
here's another example. Let's move on from this example.
Okay,
another example. Being on a shoot. Being a woman who's worked in production on film sets, television, whatever, you experience a lot of discrimination, whether it's subtle or not. I was on a shoot recently, and I had someone who I would be carrying equipment. They're like, oh, let me get that for you. Or like, oh, let me do that for you. I got it. Or I was adjusting something on a C-stand, and I was right in the sunlight, so I kind of had to stop and move around. He's like, oh, sorry, hon, let me get that for you. I'm like, I got it. It's fine. I just need to adjust myself because the sun is in my eyes. So I think, I want to be polite, so you don't have to carry this. But I'm a crew member. I'm there to work. I'm there to set stuff up. You know, you don't have to treat me any differently.
Tough thing for me because I always considered myself a polite, chivalrous, helpful person. Mm-hmm. And so when I offer someone assistance, it is regardless of gender.
Right,
but when I do it to a woman, she's gonna think, oh, I don't think you can do this,
I'm not saying that in general.
And it's not a blanket statement, obviously.
No, it's like if we have the same crew position on a set, mm-hmm. but you want to take over all of the things that I'm doing because you want to be chivalrous, I'm there to work. Like, you don't have to treat me any differently.
Totally get it.
Yeah.
Chivalry can be problematic. I get that.
No, it's like chivalry is. Well, I'm going to be polite. I'll open the door for you.
We appreciate you wanting to help.
Doing my job for me.
I appreciate you want to help me.
Such a minefield.
You know, because every woman is different. I know. This is just me personally. Yes, I work at a gym, and so I'm already perceived to. It's like, oh yeah, you're strong enough. You can do it. But you know what? Just because I teach a weight class does not mean I can, you know, lift 100 pounds. I can only probably do 50.
So I have a question for you guys.
You know, but the perception is that, oh, because you work at a gym, you got this. You know, don't worry about it.
Oh, interesting.
You know.
So here's my question. Okay, so I completely avoid any commentary on anyone's appearance. You don't need to hear from me if you look nice or not. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to say it. But here's the thing. At the company, we have very, very lax rules on how you are and how you behave. We let people have a lot of freedom. And one of the things that we give you freedom on is what you wear. So there are certain people who wear clothing that's, I think, a little bit on the risque side. But I'm terrified to point it out. I don't want to say, hey, what you're wearing is a little bit too risque for the workplace. Cover up a little bit. I don't want to go there because I don't want the person to even notice that I don't want that person to even think that I notice that she or he may look sexy or whatever. But at the same time, it's a bit of a distraction for certain people. So I know we need to implement a dress code, but how would you as a woman feel if a male supervisor versus a female supervisor said to you, the clothing that you're wearing is a little bit too revealing for the workplace. Can you tone it down?
I think if there was a standard for professional dress, if there was like a standard for, you need to dress in a somewhat professional, or even if it's casual, like, it needs to meet this kind of standard. And then if you are approaching that individual, you could say, I need you to like dress a little bit more professionally as opposed to like appropriately. Because I feel like it's usually women that are singled out for like promiscuous. And like the phrase, like, it's distracting sounds like, I can't stop looking at your body parts. Well, so if it was phrased in a way that's like, this is a professional work environment, like we need to not...
I hear you, Asher, but
we're gonna require you to wear a burqa.
No, but I guarantee you though, if you say to someone, this is a professional environment, you need to dress more professionally, some of the people will be like, well, what do you mean by that? Mm-hmm. What's wrong with what I'm wearing right now? And it's not just
Hold on.
It's not just the guys who are quote unquote distracted. Other women have said the outfit that so and so is wearing is distracting. And it's not appropriate for the workplace.
Let me just go on the record as saying I have never been unable to work based on something that someone else is wearing.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
That has never happened. I've always been able to just look at my computer screen and I don't care what anyone else is wearing.
But I look at it as common sense. If I'm coming to the workplace.
No, the common sense.
I know not everybody's got common sense. It does not work.
So you're saying we need something on the books. We need something in the employee handbook that says no mini skirts, no crop tops, no what?
But that's the business world. But if you work in the business world, I worked at a bank. I remember working. I wore a short skirt, but it was to my knees. But the thing is, it kept riding up, and I hated it. So I remember my boss, which was a woman. She pulled me to the side and said, "Your skirt is a little too short." And I'm like, "No, look, it does go to my knees, but I can't help it's riding up." Never again. Never again. I wore that skirt. You know, like I said, I appreciate it. She almost
said
so sent
you
me home.
Took that feedback well then.
I took that
feedback. You weren't insulted.
No, I wasn't insulted because right before I left the house, I knew it was down to my right at my knees.
But you knew it was on the edge of acceptable.
Huh? No, I didn't feel because I've wore that skirt before. The thing is like I wore a skirt with pantyhose and it made it ride up. So if I hadn't wore pantyhose, no, it would still been
so my,
there.
So my concern,
but the thing is, she let me stay, but I never wore that again.
What if your supervisor was a man? Though.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Would you have taken it the same way?
That's the concern. So yeah. Here in this office, you know, it's me, it's Cenk, it's Tim. It's mostly males who are at the top levels of management here.
So, could that be the problem?
So, that is part of the problem, but you know, we can't fake it. Cenk's the founder of the company, and you know, we're here the longest. The situation that I want to avoid is a situation where someone dresses in a way that's revealing or risque, and then other employees comment on his or her appearance, mm-hmm. and then create a hostile work environment for that person. So I want to avoid all of these issues, but I don't quite know how to bring it up to the person who is dressing up.
It's quite simple. You tell the other employees to calm the hell down. It's none of your business. I understand it's a company place, but come on, it comes to the point, like, why does it matter what someone else is wearing? Like, why do you care? How does that affect your life? Don't stare.
Create like a professional standard for everyone and then have that be applicable to everyone, or you're just gonna have to move on. You know what
because
I mean?
Like, Francis's outfit is quite distracting sometimes. His little, you know, like, Scottish.
Dapper
AF. Maybe. So hot.
Stop
sexually harassing Francis.
It's great, but you could also say that it's distracting. All those patterns are distracting me from doing my job. You know, how do you address that?
In a perfect world, you could just say, hey, everybody fucking behave yourselves. Right?
I mean, people should. I don't know. Like, I personally don't care. Like, I never saw the importance of a dress code in school either. It's so stupid. It's like, oh, your bra strap's straight. Like, why are you looking? How is that fucking distracting you from doing your math homework?
Well, some guys get turned on at bra
That's their problem. That's their problem.
That is their problem.
Yeah. Let me just speak like, you for know. Men for one second. Puberty is super a problem, all right? Because you have a bunch of young guys who have no idea what their feelings are right now. There are chemicals surging through their brains, and no one has, like, real good sex education to explain this to them, and they just are not in control. Like, boys are not in control. Right,
so we're not talking about teenage boys. We're talking about professionals.
Yeah.
What? I reject this argument that you can wear whatever you want to wear and other people should not be distracted by it. And if you're distracted, that's your freaking problem. I totally disagree. What if I came to work every day in a Speedo?
Okay. But you don't. That comes back to Irma's common sense.
That's my point. That's my point, okay? And you can't throw out this common sense argument because everyone has a different definition of common sense.
Yeah.
It's a horrible thing.
No.
We need a policy.
Let me finish my thought.
Okay? I'm not done yet. So we need to have a policy in place, okay? We need to have a dress code. We don't have a dress code. We never had a dress code because we never thought about having one because we're a small company. But now that we're growing to a certain size, there are a very broad range of expectations and experiences and levels of sensitivity. So some people are going to be very upset at some point that, hey, what you're wearing is too revealing, cut it out. Other people are going to be like, oh, okay, great, I won't wear this anymore. Some people are going to stare. Some people are going to make comments. Some people are not going to do that. So we need to have a policy in place. And so we're coming up with a dress code for the whole company, which is a little bit annoying because now we need to figure out what can and cannot be worn. But
it would be no different than if you worked at a bank or
it is different.
It's totally different.
But we don't dress business casual here. A lot of people
just
wear
very
like
casual.
It's different. Yeah. It's different than
very
a bank. It's different
right
than
now.
A bank. We're not a bank. We're not an accounting firm. We're not an office. We are a studio. We have on our talent. They have to dress a certain way. And on our talent, they want, whether it's a man or a woman, they want to look good. They want to have sex appeal, whatever it is. So it gets tricky. It's very tricky where the lines have to be drawn. And as a company, I want to have an open dialogue so that we're not making rules that are unfair to one group of people versus another.
I think it's based off of public decency rules. Like, if you can't walk outside in a Speedo because, you know, you're exposing
yourself.
You can? You're telling me you can walk around in a Speedo outside of the...
If you can't walk into cities, a 7-Eleven with your outfit, you shouldn't be able to wear it.
Okay.
Gotta have shoes, gotta have a shirt, gotta have appropriate pants.
Yeah. I mean, you can walk into a 7-Eleven with flip-flops and a tank top and a Speedo on, and you'll be served. They'll take your money. It's fine. But I want to ask, I want to harp on one thing that you said, and that was, we have on-air talent, and they have to dress a certain way. So
They want to dress
a certain way. Okay, so let's talk about what they feel as though they need to wear. And let's just make up a on-air talent.
Boo-boo Kitty.
And let's say that she likes to wear tighter dresses.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the root of the problem that you're getting to? Because I don't know. Because I never thought anyone at the office dressed too inappropriately. But if you're saying that some people have expressed an issue with it, then that's the spot, right? That's on-air talent wearing tighter party dresses or shorter skirts or...
You know, things that are very super low cut, very, very tight, midriff bearing.
So
you know,
do
that
these
kind of stuff.
On-air talent women feel the need to wear this because they're on-air talent women?
Can I also make the argument that that's what's in fashion now? It's like the same argument I have with my father, who's more conservative. Are the way he wants me to dress and the way I dress are two completely different? I don't dress risque. I think I dress pretty decently. I'm fully covered.
Is he fine with your outfit as it is right now?
Yes.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with
I'm fully,
I'm fully
covered.
I'm saying there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. I'm asking if your father appreciates.
Yeah, he's fine. I'm fully covered. But I understand, because like if I don't buy dresses that have like the midriffs open, because he just doesn't like it. So I'm like, you know what, whatever. He's my dad. Still live with him. You know, it's his house, his rules, whatever. But, you know, like we have this disconnect where the fashion, like what's in style now is open midriffs, you know, low cut, kind of tighter. That's what's in style. Like and that's what they sell in the stores. Like that's what we want to wear. You know, I don't know what to say. Like,
yeah, well, I think
that's why it's so difficult to have a dress code, because I don't want to be a giant dork that says you guys can't wear anything. You have to wear, you know, a pantsuit every single day. I mean, I don't want to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to come up with some sort of dress code,
sort of policy.
And it's hard to get there because of issues of, you know, what are the fashion trends? And, you know, is it fair for a woman to dress a certain way, but a man can't dress that way? Or whatever it may be, you know. So what if Cenk and I wore midriff-bearing clothes, right? That would look ridiculous.
That's the weird double standard, is you never have to tell one of the male employees, hey, what you're wearing isn't appropriate, unless he's just like completely a slob. But there's no amount of revealing or non-revealing clothes that Francis would wear that would be inappropriate.
No.
But Anna, for sure, someone could find an issue with one of the dresses that she wears on. Not to throw Anna under a bus, she's very fashionable. Yeah. But yeah, I could see what you're saying, because more fashionable or better looking clothes tend to reveal more skin on women.
And some people are more curvier, and some people have bigger breasts or a bigger butt. And no matter what you wear, if you're a big breasted girl, it's going to look kind of quote unquote skanky or risque.
And which they can't help it.
Even a goddamn turtleneck, it's going to make you look resistant.
There's no universal solution.
Basically, it's if you want to take care of that issue, it's set a dress code for everyone and have a professional dress, and then it has to be because of the way that you want the company to look, and you can't single out people. Essentially, like, you know, if someone...
But it's weird because you're making this dress code for the three women that are in front of the camera.
Yeah.
You are definitely singling out people by making a blanket statement. Yes. Which is weird.
I agree.
It's weird.
But I think, like someone would react to that better than saying, like, hey,
I prefer to not have a dress code.
I also prefer.
Yeah, and I think,
but only because I'm for liberty.
It makes for a very comfortable workplace.
Well, we work in a place because we are in a studio, we are on television and on online. That, you know, I feel that, you know, we should dress the way we want to dress. However, there's a limitation. Like, I was told that if you are looking at yourself in the mirror and you're questioning, should I wear this outfit, then chances are, don't wear it.
But see, I'm super confident in myself. So, like, nothing would give me pause.
That's right.
But see, the question is, because this dress code is fueled by risque, not lack of professionalism. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, it's certainly not reactionary to me wearing a t-shirt and jeans or anybody wearing shorts and flip-flops. It's not that at all,
which is
a bummer.
I'm fine with everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, I want to emphasize the fact
that... So what happens if I came in with a bikini?
Stop interrupting me. you know, as our company grows... Once we get to, like, let's say 100 people, 200 people, 500 people, there's definitely going to be some person who's an idiot who pushes the boundaries of good taste and decency and it's going to ruin it for everyone, right? And then I don't want to get to a situation where, you know, me or Tim or you know, anyone for that matter who's in a position of management is accused of sexism or harassment by noticing that someone's dressed inappropriately, whatever that may be, and have to deal with the issue. So we need to be proactive. At least that's what our HR consultant was telling us, that we need to have policies in place. And I hate it because it's a hassle.
Well, that's,
and I don't know what the policy should be.
That's the problem, because we're very easily a big company with very small company mentality. Like, you and Cenk and Dave are still thinking of us the way that we were at the beginning, and that's not the case anymore. So there's a lot of things, there's a lot of bureaucracy that's absolutely necessary, not because we want it, but because we've grown into it, and it's just unavoidable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
I just think that if you, let's just say, like, don't come to work in just your undergarments, or don't come to work topless, or... Just
are you guys upset that I'm not wearing pants right now? I didn't really get that impression that anyone.
That's a hostile like working environment. One of us isn't wearing pants.
Why do these things belong together?
Yeah,
okay.
But look, I completely understand where you're coming from. I think I'm saying, like, okay, don't have your top, you know, like all the way over here, and there's like this giant opening. Maybe if you're going to the club, I guess.
Sounds like Irma's common sense rule.
So
it doesn't, I don't like common sense rules because everyone's common sense is different. Like, what Irma's wearing would be inappropriate at the Catholic school my mom used to teach at. You know what I mean? Everyone's sense of common sense is different. So either have a professional policy in place or don't say anything at all. It's inappropriate to say anything and no woman ever wants, like, a man to tell her how to dress.
I think
whether he's a boss or not, it's going to be offensive.
And I don't want to tell her how to dress.
You either set a statement for everyone, or then everyone's just going to have to shut up about how they feel.
Would these rules apply to all of us, or would this also include...
Just you, Gigi.
This is an intervention.
I'm sorry I ruined it for all of you.
We're just letting you know.
I'm sorry I'm the reason you have to wear pants to work now.
Gigi Speedo ruined it.
No, but would this also apply to guests on the show? Because sometimes guests
they don't sign an employee agreement.
They're not part. They're just guests.
Because I think, personally, from what I've noticed, the guests dress a bit more risque than people who work here.
Okay. Yeah.
So how
should probably wrap it up.
Thanks, Bernie.
Yeah, thank you, Bernie. You know. So, but no,
Bernie
but before
you
we
know
go.
What? I respect women. I love women.
Oh, really?
I respect them so much that I completely stay away from them.
Wow. That's all I can say is wow.
All right, so Asher, you brought up a lot of good points and you know, issues of, like, subtle sexism in the workplace, you know, chivalrous behavior that's actually disguised sexism. Even if it's meant well, it can be detrimental to women in the workplace. It might be hurtful to them moving up. There are a lot of issues, and we're trying our best to deal with those issues. But also, I want women to understand that a lot of times, you know, men try. Like, there are a lot of well-intentioned men who really don't want to be sexist. We don't want to harass anyone. But the rules are difficult to navigate. And, you know, we're literally trying our best. We're getting training for it, all that kind of stuff. I bring up one example of the dress code as one of the landmines that are hard to navigate. I was talking to Sam Shocker the other day. She's pregnant. Her breasts are growing. And in my conversation, she says to me, "Look how giant my boobs have gotten." And you know what I did? I just
Thank you, Samantha.
I said, this is a trap.
I decline
that offer. I'm
going to
keep my eyes right on your face. I'm not looking down. I'm not gonna take the bait. I have no idea what size of breasts you have, okay?
Yeah.
And we moved on.
So here's
I don't even see breasts.
When in doubt, I understand maybe for you it might be hard to navigate, but always keep that dialogue open with female coworkers, women in your life in general, right. and always hear what they have to say, because a lot of times it's like a general example is with a catcall, a guy would be like, "Oh, it's a compliment." Like, right. "No, I don't see it as that." Always take what. Like, just keep an open dialogue and hear us out. And you don't have to just have trainings. You can just ask, you know, and just, like, listen to us and how we feel. And, yeah.
So what you're telling me is that my wife is right.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
That all of the female employees at TYT do still experience discrimination, sexual harassment, inappropriate
behavior. Well, I mean, any dress code policy is mostly aimed towards women.
Well, forget about the dress code policy for a second. Just in a general work day, you do experience discrimination,
I think in general work day. Yeah,
improper comments.
Not here. Personally, I have an experience, but at the same time, I gotta
bring this down, whatever. Yeah, we did talk about the Women's International Day. Mm-hmm. So I do want to show some pictures that happened theirs, just so like this, everybody understands what went down yesterday. So Griffin, please let's scroll through the pictures so we can just talk about it briefly before we're done. This is at the very beginning, so they're getting ready to, you know, start up, but people are still coming. There's Asher getting her stuff ready to go.
My Permani shirt.
You know. And they're starting to rev up. Okay, keep going. Stay loud, yes, you know. Keep going. You know, I like this. I choose courage.
It's a good sign.
So now everything is happening. Wait, stop here. Whoa, go back.
That was
I love this part. Women are not bitches, hoes, inhibitors, punching bags, mm-hmm. sex objects, or bleeders.
Breeders.
Women are all full of human beings. And then, of course, this sign I took a picture of. Keep going.
Too many fonts.
There's Asher. She's working.
Live streaming.
She's live streaming. Keep going.
You crossed the picket line. You worked.
Yeah, I did.
But there's going to be some of my favorite pictures, which is, you know, for the first time.
This was outside the courthouse?
Yes.
I recognize that building from the O.J. Simpson show.
Yeah. I will say this is the first time I've ever hung out with the let's see. Oh, this is so nice. Like, this was, honestly, for me, I enjoyed hanging out with the TYT women because this was the first time for me to ever hang out with coworkers since I live so far. So,
really?
Yeah, I do.
That one?
This is my favorite picture because it's like, you know, everybody's doing their reactions, mm-hmm. you know, like what they're paying attention to. That right there, there's like they're paying attention to what's being spoken.
My lack of
it. You know? And that's Jennifer, which you all know she's the producer of the main show.
We are.
And then editor, you know, Mary. And then Leah, who's the chief of staff and then producer. And that's all of us. All the TYT women. Except for Brian. He was he's a big fan.
Yeah.
So.
Lifetime member. Hi, Brian.
Lifetime member. Hashtag.
By the way, I'm really happy that you guys did that. I'm glad you guys got organized. You came here to carpool, and you guys were out there rallying. So we 100% supported.
Yeah, I loved it, for the first time, like, we really got to buy, and I loved it because it's like I said, I live so far, and most of you all live, like, in the west side or this side, and I have to go towards the Long Beach area. Me and Edwin are the ones that live in that area. I could hang out with Edwin any day. Mm-hmm. Shout out
and
to Edwin.
You do.
Avoided at all costs.
Yeah, exactly.
It was such a double-edged sword for me, because though I support the cause and I appreciate it, the whole movement is to get your employers to appreciate how valuable your female employees are, mm-hmm. and I totally already did that. So mm-hmm.
it was a super big inconvenience
for me.
I would say this.
But is the answer that I end with. That's fine.
I would say at TYT, we have a very, very strong ethos of inclusion, diversity, and intolerance. And we fully support. And we fully support women's rights, of course, and we try our best. I think it's far better here than at most places I've ever been.
Definitely.
But doesn't mean that doesn't happen here. Things that are inappropriate,
we're definitely not perfect. Mm-hmm. And I think Asher said it. We need to keep the dialogue open, make mm-hmm. sure that we keep getting to a better place, and you know, never be satisfied. And that's kind of the core value of TYT, that we challenge everything, right? We challenge the establishment, we challenge status quo, we challenge conventional wisdom, and we challenge ourselves to be better and better all the time. So,
alrighty. So let's just wrap that up with that quote that Steve O said. We have to get going because we got to prepare for.
We gotta drink all this.
Yeah, we gotta drink all this.
Hurry up and just go.
We gotta get our party on. But I hope you got your party on. You know, you got your soda or your water or whatever you like to drink.
It's gonna be a crazy party.
It's gonna be a crazy party. Let us know what you think about the happy hour. You know, do you like this? You know, the mood. You know, with what you hear in the background. You know, the bar talk, you know, even though we're not at a bar, but technically.
All right.
But anyhow, have fun tonight. Be safe. And like always, we always, that like Malcolm likes to say.
I don't know what we always say.
Well, they say stay strong.
I have
strong.
No idea.
Okay. Count of three, say something.
Stay strong.
Stay strong.
Say, well, we'll say whatever. One, two, three.
Whatever.